Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Move Wild Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in. So today's episode is a little bit different. I'm sharing with you a live that I did in my Facebook group. And this live was kind of based around some of my thoughts and a little bit of inspiration that I got from recording an episode with a friend of mine not too long ago. Thoughts on play, thoughts on the best way to train, and also thoughts on how play and movement kind of play into these different areas and transfer across to these different areas of life and how they help us to develop socially and emotionally. So thanks for tuning in again to this episode. Let's jump into it and I'll catch you on the other side. All right, welcome guys to today's live video. So today I just wanted to share a little bit of inspiration that I got from a conversation that I had with a dude called Rafe Kelly the other day, who I'm interviewing or have interviewed for my podcast, and that episode will be released very soon. And that is on play and natural movement and movement in general, and just looking at different ways to train. And I titled this live The Best Way to Train because that's kind of what I want to cover and what I believe the best way to train is, and what I got kind of inspired to talk about from that conversation that I had with Rafe Kelly. So play and movement and training and this, you know, what we call, moving our bodies and training. There's many, many ways to do that, right? There's many ways and expressions of moving the human body. The human body is an extremely complex organism designed to adapt and overcome and move through complex environments and overcome challenges and do all these amazing things. And we don't always honor that. And especially the modern world is not really set up to honor that. It's set up in a very linear way. You go to a gym, which is, you know, the preferred place of expression of movement for most people these days, and it's a very linear environment. It's four walls. There's, you know, tools that are very kind of maladapted to our design and are they don't spark creativity, they don't spark adaptability, they don't spark the need for our brain to get involved in movement. They don't spark the need for us to move complexly in order to move objects or just move around an environment. You know, walking on a treadmill is an extremely kind simplistic movement, and our brain, the most, you know, complex nervous system on the planet, is designed for complex movement, and it's not designed for walking on a treadmill. It's not designed for, you know, lifting up dumbbells a certain amount of times. It's designed to move through complex environments. And so I want to talk to you guys today about natural movement and go a little bit more in depth on play, because that was one of the biggest things that Rafe kind of touched on, and I think it's one of those things that's really overlooked. I mean, I overlook it sometimes in my training, I notice, and when I do play, it opens up new spheres and new ways of thinking and new ways of moving that I become unaware of when all I do is structured training or all I do is interact with an environment in a certain way. So the human brain works by habit and patterns, and it's a reliable, sustainable system for us to move and train. So if I'm always interacting with, so one form of play is changing up your environment. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So if I'm always interacting with the same environment, I'm going to form habits and patterns within that environment that I'm going to keep coming back to over and over and over and over and over again. And what that does, it limits my growth, because all I do is see that environment in a specific way. I see the options for movement in a specific way, and I don't necessarily, unless I introduce some novelty into that environment, that could be another human showing me how to do something differently, that could be a different mood that I'm in, that could be, you know, whatever it is, and until I introduce novelty into that environment, I'm going to keep moving kind of in the same way, and it's not going to be challenging the level of complexity. It's not going to be challenging my brain. It's not going to be challenging my body because I'm habituating to that environment. Now, a certain amount of adaptation and habituation to an environment is necessary in order for you to get comfortable with that environment and in order for you to be efficient in it. So if you're not habituated to your home and where you live, and there's constant novelty and constant chaos, you're going to be very inefficient, right? You're going to be very inefficient in moving through that environment. Imagine, you know, one day your home is set up in a certain way and then the next day it's set up in a completely different way. Your brain has to habituate to that. You learn how to move around the environment and then it's set up in a completely different way the next day. You're constantly switching and changing. So there's definitely room for habituation and adaptation. I don't want that to be taken too far, but for the most part, we are too familiar with our environments. We're too familiar because it's human nature, right? It's within all of us, and it's not a bad thing. Biologically, we crave what's the same and routine and normal because that keeps us safe. But we don't live in a world where stepping outside of our relied upon environment is called upon frequently. So we have to actually force ourselves sometimes to do it, or look at it in a more playful lens and see the opportunities for movement or development when we step out of that familiar environment. So that's one of the biggest ones, is where do you train? Where do you move? Where do you play? Where do you socialize? Where do you eat? Where do you do all these things? And is that limiting your ability to adapt and think creatively and move creatively because you're always exposing yourself to the same environment and you're always exposing yourself to the same stimulus in the same ways, and then you get habituated to that and it limits your growth and it starts to shrink. It, you know, literally your ability to think will start to deteriorate because you're never forced to think. We lose what we don't use, and that level of adaptability can only be truly developed, I believe, when we shift things up and add novelty and add complexity and add challenge. So changing the environment comes in several forms. I believe the best environment, and I've spoken about this at length before, the best environment to train in, the best environment to move in, the best environment to do many things in is nature, because nature is an extremely complex system of interwoven, intermoving parts that are all living and all provide different levels of complexity and chaos that our brain has to adapt to, our brain has to see the patterns in, and our brain has to navigate. When we move indoors and there's a bunch of kind of ordered, stable, linear patterns and surfaces, our brain doesn't really have to work very hard at trying to organize that environment or organize the way that we move through that environment and the way that we navigate through that environment. So that's one of the biggest things, is getting outside into nature, getting out into a complex environment. And if you always go to the same spot in nature, going somewhere else, because your brain will have adapted to that spot. As I said, it will have habituated, and then it will have organized very adeptly, because that's what it's designed to do, find patterns and organize them, and then find the best way and most efficient way to move through that environment. If you're going to the same spot over and over again, your brain isn't really being challenged, even if it is out in nature. So going out into nature, exposing yourself to these different environments, exposing yourself to different kind of places and areas and things that are going to stimulate your nervous system to start thinking differently, to start acting differently, to start behaving differently. And you'll see the transference to other areas of your life is extremely interesting. You'll start to think differently. So even if we can't separate these different areas out of our lives, right? We live an integrated life, and we are an integrated organism. Despite how much we love to think that we can separate, or despite how much the modern world encourages us to separate these different areas of our life, if we are moving differently in a different environment, we're going to start to think differently, see things differently, and create things differently, and it's going to carry over to all other areas of our life. So that's the other thing that I touch on with Rafe, and I think is really important, is that not only does play and novelty of environment influence, you know, our body's capability, but it influences our social capabilities, it influences our emotional capabilities, it influences so many other capabilities that we can't really have influenced, or we can't have them grow without that stimulus and without that exposure to play and novelty. So just understanding that, and you know, if you are stuck with a problem in your life, if you're stuck with a challenge, if you're stuck in a certain way of thinking, sometimes doing, you know, something, doing something physical, like actually stepping outside of what is your norm, you know, what you stepping outside. If you, if all you do is, you know, go spend time at your house and then spend time at your workplace and spend time at the gym and then, you know, go to the shops every now and then and go to the movies every now and then, etc., etc. I'm sure none of you, you know, do that if you're watching this video, but say that's a normal person's life. They're never thinking outside of those patterns. Our brain is triggered by the environment, and we'll continue to think in those habituated patterns unless we shift the environment. So just thinking broader, shifting the environment doesn't only affect your physical expression because there's different ways that you move your body. If my environment, you know, if I'm moving in an environment that has many tree branches that are low to the ground and stop me from standing upright, my physical expression is going to be changed by that environment, right? So this is another point that I wanted to touch on, is physical expression and how the environment affects that. If I'm in an environment full of flat surfaces, my physical expression is limited to the different things I can do in an environment with flat surfaces. If my environment has, like, you know, different limbs of trees to climb, my expression of movement is influenced by and is directly correlated with those limbs of trees because I'm going to start moving around them, right? If and again, you can take that socially. If my environment is influenced by certain people, then I'm going to have certain thought patterns and certain conversations and certain ways of communicating with those people. That I'm going to habituate to that, and that's going to be a different expression of movement, of communication than I would have if I was around other people. Emotionally, it's the same thing. So it's broad, you know, it's spirals within spirals, circles within circles. There's broad kind of implications of all the things that I'm talking about, and it doesn't just happen to be within movement. So I'm gonna go on to so. Benefits of moving in nature. Obviously, there's other things like get access to sunlight, our bodies and our minds and our physiology. Biologically, we're designed to move in nature and be exposed to nature and you know, there's so many elements of moving in nature that I can't really go into detail here, like sunlight and how that affects your hormones, how that affects your you know, circadian rhythm and sleep cycles. Vitamin D, how that affects your neurotransmitter production and how happy you feel, how that affects, you know, so many things. Temperature, exposure to temperature and fluctuating temperature, vasoconstriction and dilation, all these different factors that we don't really think about when we're thinking about movement, or just being outdoors in nature that we don't get if we're in a gym or we don't get if we're indoors. So that's the benefits of moving in nature and as it relates to play and the novelty element. Next is benefits of moving with other people and moving with community. So again, this speaks to the social emotional development. So not only in communication, but if a person is part of my environment and I want to, you know, playfully wrestle or rough house, you know, Rafe is massive into rough housing and I really love rough housing as a method of training and just a method of exploring play and exploring different expressions of movement. If someone's in my environment and I want to playfully rough house with them, that's again changing my expression of movement because I now have this living organism with which to have a physical conversation and interaction with. That could be contact improvisation as well, so that it changes it up again. It's not necessarily a wrestling kind of context. It's more of a playful kind of contact improvisation context. There's different ways that we can interact with people, communication, roughhousing, and the full spectrum between those two things. That is another novel thing that we can introduce to our environment that completely changes and shifts up the way that we express our movement, the way that we express ourselves in movement, the way that we communicate, the way that we think socially, the way that we think, you know, in terms of adaptability and creativity. Like, it brings up a whole bunch of new thought patterns. It develops us and helps to develop our emotional capacity and social capacity and our kinesthetic capacity, our ability to feel. And interact and also respond to different people's movement. All those things are crucial if we want to become a fully developed human. So roughhousing and getting around people and just moving with people and moving with community is a massive element when it comes to play and when it comes to training, right? When it comes to enriching our training experience. Because what it really comes down to when Well, what I believe fitness is and what I believe the whole purpose of training should be is to be adaptable. And training should not be a self-serving purpose in the sense that it's only for you know, the end game is that you're fit to train. The end game of training should be that you're fit for life. The end game of training should be that there's transferable skills from your movement practice that play into all other areas of life, not just your training. Okay, so you see a lot of this that people specialize more and more and more and more and more, and they remove this element of adaptability and they get too comfortable and too obsessed with one thing, whether that's handstands or muscle ups or you know, whatever it is, or running. And then they're just training for the sake of training, and they're training just to be better at the thing, rather than understanding that training should be used as a in conjunction with all other areas of life, and that it's an integrated piece of the puzzle. I've recently finished a book, many of you may know, where I talk about how, you know, there's several factors that create health. There's several factors that create or cultivate our ability to thrive in the modern world. And movement is just one of them. Training is just one of them. And enlisted training complements all other areas: nutrition, sleep, and recovery. You know, community, and just general fulfillment in life, environment. You know, all these different things. Unless it complements that, then it's not. You know, you're not really being the most efficient or effective as you can be with your training. So, adaptability should be the aim, in my view. If you can create training that makes you adaptable, then you're much more easily going to bounce back from challenges, bounce back from chaos, bounce back from things that hit you from different directions that you might not have otherwise been able to respond to. But because you're training to be adaptable, when different things, different physical asks or different physical demands or mental demands or social demands come at you, you're better able to respond to them because you have such a wide range of skill. And that's why I think play is the most effective training tool. It's the original training tool. Rafe and I talked about that, and he shared a lot on that. It's, you know, it is the original kind of tool for training and tool for developing physical capability. In the animal kingdom, you look at most other species, they develop skills through play. And humans especially, because we have a long developmental process that lasts many, many, many more years than most animals. So when we don't honor that, you know, play is a vital part of the learning process, we have underdeveloped humans, we have underdeveloped brains, we have underdeveloped mental, social, physical capabilities. So the more play you can integrate into your life, I think the more developed and more well-rounded you will be as a human, the more adaptable you will be. You know, you look at all the elements that come into play when we use play in our training, and it's just so many countless elements that you cannot recreate in structured training. You know, I was relating this to a friend the other day, just a simple game of frisbee. If I am, you know, doing structured training of sprints, for example, I'm not going to have the same variety of movement, the same variety of intensity, the same variety of communication, the same variety of being able to respond to another person's movement in relation to another object. All these different factors that come into play when I play a game of frisbee. That, you know, that game of frisbee is training me much more on a broader level to be a well-rounded, adaptable, physically capable human being than doing, you know, structured training of like sets of sprints, for example. I'm not saying don't do that, and I'm not saying don't supplement where you don't have play, but to look at the world through that more playful and curious mindset is going to be vital if you want to develop more physical capability and you want to grow your physical practice, because there's just elements, there's just little things that are going to come from playing that you're not going to be able to recreate in training. Even if it's just, like, obviously there's many more elements, but even if it's just the social development, like playing with other people and being able to respond and interact with people in a developed and mature way, or respond and interact with them on a kinesthetic, physical level when you're wrestling with them, or being able to respond and interact with the environment, and again, finding the best way to navigate through that environment. Our brain is designed to pick up on patterns, and the more complex patterns we give it, the more adaptable it becomes, and the more it sees those patterns in other areas of our life, and the more we can integrate in these concepts that we learn when we're training into our life, which is the whole purpose of training, hopefully. Otherwise, you're kind of wasting your time. That's my little rant and like my little life for today that I wanted to share with you guys. And I also wanted to let you guys know that I finished the book, How to Thrive in the Modern World. It's going to be coming out on October 1st. But if you want early access to it, I go through, you know, essentially, like, as the title says, how to thrive in the modern world. So I go through all the factors and elements, not just one. You know, I go through movement, I go through nutrition, I go through environmental factors, I go through sleep, I go through recovery, I go through community, I go through, you know, the intangible elements like I talked about on this in terms of play, and really giving you guys a guidebook and a roadmap to thrive and cultivate health in this crazy world that we live in that is at such a mismatch to our biological needs and our physiological needs that I think we do need a guidebook and we do need a roadmap. And I wish I kind of had that kind of guidebook and that roadmap when I was starting out on my journey 6 years ago, because it would have saved me a hell of a lot of time. So if you guys want to get early access to that, then you can join my Patreon page where you'll get early access to that, as well as follow along natural movement workouts every week for just $7 a month. So I'm going to put a link to that in the comments below if you're interested. Otherwise, you can wait until October the 1st when it comes out. Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's video. Keep doing all the things that create health, make us healthy. Get the book if you feel like you want, you know, more in-depth on this and more in-depth on kind of what I shared today. So again, thank you guys so much. Grow strong and move wild. All right. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in to this episode of Move Wild Podcast. As I mentioned in the live video that I just shared with you guys then, if you want to get early access to my book, How to Thrive in the Modern World, you can head down to the show notes of this episode of the podcast, and there's a link there to my Patreon page where you can sign up for $7 a month, and you're going to get early access to that book, How to Thrive in the Modern World, which is otherwise coming out on October 1st, as well as follow along natural movement workouts and a whole bunch of exclusive content that I don't post anywhere else. So if you're interested in getting on that, head down to the show notes and check that out. I think it can be really helpful for a lot of you guys starting on your health journey, starting on your natural movement journey, or just wanting some improvement and wanting to explore and broaden your knowledge and deepen your knowledge and understanding and practice in these areas. Again, thank you all so much for tuning in. If you got value out of this episode, then do the things that you do that you feel would be a fair exchange for the value that you feel I'm putting out into the world by providing this podcast. So go ahead and share it, leave us a rating and review. It really helps with getting it out to more people. Thanks again, guys, and I'll catch you on the next episode of Move Wild Podcast coming out on Tuesday.